ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Brian Hookstein, an associate professor of marketing at the University of Alabama. Prior to his current role, he was a sales executive with Time Warner Media. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Really looking forward to our conversation.
Customer success management, CSM, in B2B industries is a proactive approach to managing customer relationships and ensuring that customers realize the full value of a product or solution. It focuses on increasing customer retention, reducing churn. Understanding CSM and customer health is important for businesses as it offers insights into how to effectively manage customer relationships, improve customer satisfaction, and drive long-term growth. Research into business-to-business marketing concerns is relatively rare because it's challenging to conduct, which is why I was thrilled by the prospect to interview you about this important topic. First, can you explain the concept of customer success management and how it is more than just a rebranding of other relationship marketing strategies?
That is a great question and one I've been asked a lot of times since starting to study this topic. It started back in 2017 looking at this topic, and I come from a sales background. So as I did research this and learn more about it, I actually was quite stricken by the differences, although they're difficult to see with just a cursory review of what customer success management is all about. At the most basic level, salespeople have in the past tried to do much of what customer success managers would do. In a less complex world, they could handle more of this. They could develop relationships with their customers and answer questions, provide service, and maybe address a lot of the needs the customer would have around their product. But the product was much simpler, much less complex. And if we sold something to you, if you think of maybe in the past, somebody selling a Xerox machine or something, they would deliver that to you. It may have some capabilities you'd learn about it, but it wouldn't really change much. Once it was delivered and installed, it would work and maybe need some service to keep working, but it wouldn't change much. You think about maybe even a copy machine you might have in your office now, if you have one, it might change some because software can be updated on the machines. Its capabilities can expand over that time frame that you have it in your office. And it might do a completely different job a year later than what it started at a year before. So in those kind of situations, any kind of technology or technology augmented product, any kind of product that isn't static, that's going to have some complexity to it. Customers don't always get the value they could get from a product. And it's really beyond the ability of a salesperson that whose job is to go out and sell products to be there handholding and training and educating the customer. But there wasn't really anybody else to do that. So the question became, for these products, if you think of any kind of technology product, who would help the customer with that? The solution has become the customer success manager. They do a lot of things that salespeople do, but they don't really spend their time selling. Their goal is to help customers to be more successful using products. And from that, customers continue to purchase those products. So it might seem like a nuance, but as we dig into it, we'll probably see some more distinctions. It is a similar role to sales, but it's a much deeper product usage-based role than what sales does.
So if I'm a business and I have a key account manager, that's most likely a sales role, a relationship that's based on sales, whereas my customer success manager would differ in that they are advocating for the business needs with me, the service provider. Is that a fair kind of way to approach it?
Yeah, the key account management role is probably most similar to the customer success management role. It's come up a lot over the years of that role, and we distinguish between them in the paper that we're discussing. But the simplest level, key account managers still are more strategic. They're still helping. They're trying to sell things. Their goals are based on sales revenue for the company they work for. And they're very deeply embedded. They're working with the key customers, the top 1% of customers or 2% of customers that a supplier might have. So they're working hard. Their teams are helping customers to really get the most. And there's some similarities there.
One of the things that surprised me in the paper you referenced, 67% of enterprise subscription applications are wasted and not used to full potential. And I'm thinking, and this goes to your point about tech, if I don't use 67% of what I could be using, I may not value it. So it's a real, it's helping me really see the value and understand how to use the tool. And is there an element of anticipation of what could be helpful, that it's more proactive in that regard?
So it's definitely more proactive, and it's also very data-driven, the customer success manager role. That percentage of 67% was a difficult number to come by, but we did find a couple different sources for that. And the idea of that is not so much that the customers aren't getting what they initially bought, but the consumption gap, as sometimes is talked about, is that the product has changed so much that customers haven't changed with it. They haven't gotten the more they could get out of it. They may get the initial thing that they purchased it for. So customer success managers can use data that is generated by the users of the product. They don't know they're generating it, but you're using a software product and you're generating some data about how much it's being used, how many people are using it, what aspects of it are they using, how many times in a day are they using it, for how long are they looking around and working with it. And you can, the customer success manager and the analytics around customer success can identify deficiencies in that use. And then those can be used to proactively educate, train, prompt the customer to solve problems they don't even know they have. So going back to the key account management, that's not exactly what key account managers do. They more work on strategic vision for what's the future of this product between our companies and things like that. So it's a different role. The seller will have a customer success manager for most of its customers, whereas you have a key account manager for just a small percentage of your customers. So it's a different role. I think the goals are somewhat similar in some spots, but it's really all about getting customers to get what they paid for and get more than what they paid for if the product expands to new ways that they could use it. They aren't going to find that out on their own. Customer success manager helps them to continue to use the product better and get more value from it. So it's a pretty cool role.
Yeah. Well, and what is the significance of customer health in the context of customer success management? And could you provide an example of some of the dimensions that make up customer health?
So the customer health idea is a really unique concept, because if we realize that relationships now that are more based on value, maybe old sales relationships might be based on how often we play golf or do other things like that. But customer success relationships are more based on value realization and getting more value. Well, there might be some ways we know how those are going. We need some kind of indicators of how those relationships are going. It's a long-term kind of sales thing that we're doing. We're not asking all the time, how are things going? We're not asking you to buy things along the way. We're just helping you to use the product better. And our goal is to retain you at the end of your contract period, which might be a year, might be longer than a year, might be 3 years. But how do we know if it's going well or not? Will you just disappear at the end of that contract period? So customer health is what the industry has come up with for to measure that. And it's predictive of how the relationship is going. And that's important, because relationships are dynamic. They can go in positive or negative ways. They don't just stay still. They improve or they decline. There's some reasoning behind that in theory, but the general idea is to predict which way things are going. That's what customer health does. And the other thing is, customers are not just, we say customers, we think maybe you might be my customer, but customers in most business situations now might be 10,000 end users of a software product and a team of IT professionals and a decision maker and a buying center and an executive and many other people. There might be many people, not so much in a buying team, but using the product and needing to know what value came from it at different levels. So customer health records inputs from all of those levels. I can give you some different areas where we found there to be some dimensions that came from industry. You'd asked about that. So really the first one is the idea of customer relationship quality with the vendor. And that's important because, well, obviously we want to know how well the customer relationship is going, but we're going to measure that through kind of some traditional things like satisfaction, net promoter score, trust and commitment. And those are more subjective measures, but we also might look at things that are more objective. Are they out writing reviews for our product? Can we use them as a reference while talking to other customers? Have they participated in some kind of case study for our company to talk about how our product has worked in their situation? So we're trying to find ways to measure this relationship quality in subjective ways where they tell us, also in objective ways where we can see it, and also at different levels of the customers I mentioned. So is the quality of the relationship good with the users as well as the people that are making the buying decisions?
Right. Because those aren't always the same. And that's important, that understanding where that sits with everybody.
Right. Right. And an example of that in, there's lots of examples you can think of, but examples of that would be, I was talking to somebody, not at all a tech product, but I was just recently talking to an executive, and the company was a janitorial service, right? So not techie at all. But if you use a restroom and the paper towel to dry your hands on afterwards, the electronic dispenser is not working on a regular basis, that could have some negative implications for your product. Though the person that's the buyer that handles that contract may or may not know about that, but there may be real disdain. You might be not selling as much product. There's, you can think about it that way. What's happening on the front lines versus what does the buyer know? And what do we need to know about those two different things, and how would we measure it at different levels? So it's important to know like this larger level, all the different customer stakeholders, how they're interacting with our product and how that reflects on the relationship quality. Second point would be the product use. And this is really kind of one of the other distinguishers of customer success management from just sales. And it comes from our ability now to see what's happening with products out in the field differently than we could in the past. And this may have been around for a while, but we're getting much better at collecting and analyzing and understanding what's happening in our data. And many things, even those towel cases in a restroom, may have some kind of sensor that reports back to the person that installed that as to how many times it's being used. Is it empty? Does it need to be refilled? Has it been had any downtime? That might be an extreme example, but almost all products we use, as we're right now, there's data being developed about how often we're using this platform, what types of capabilities we're using, how many people participated, did we share chat things or whatever, right? So there's all different ways that we could see how the product's being used in the field, but we don't have to ask the customers. We want to measure those from mainly not really asking the customer, but looking at how they're using, finding ways to see how they're using our products. Well, it's out there in their use, right? Their people are using it. Mainly objective type things, counting things, looking at amount of time, is it increasing, decreasing, and drawing some real insights from that product use. So that's been a real advance, because we didn't really have that in the past. Normally, a salesperson would have to ask their customers, how is things going? Is this product working for you? Are there any things we can improve? The reality
may
is
or
now,
may not yield truthful answers, right? I mean,
or the customer may have no insight, right? They don't right. know. Those 10,000 users out there may not have told them, right? And the reality now is the customer probably knows less about their product use than the vendor does, right? So we should be able to see applications for their product that they would never even think of, because their job isn't to spend their whole day trying to figure out how well our product is working for them and their company. They have lots of other things to do in their job. So our job is to figure it out without asking, and then be able to go educate them on what's happening, what's going well, what needs some improvement, what are some new things that they might want to consider. That's really what this job. So that idea of to see, I like to call it, like, I'm a pilot as just a hobby, but we have a synthetic vision where you can use data. Data is compiled to kind of give you a picture of the outside world without actually seeing it. You can think about the idea that we could have a synthetic customer vision where a bunch of different data points are kind of telling us what's happening as our customers are using the product, but we're not really sitting there looking over their shoulder. We're just seeing it from the data that's being generated by their use. If we can get a good picture of that, we can now go back to them with some really useful insights that helps them to get more value from our product. So that's a really key point of customer success management.
So how is sort of can triangulate around looking at the product used, and then so it's purely through data that you're collecting and tracking that you're going to determine customer value realization. Are you asserting value with your customer? Like, look what you must be doing, or how do you assess level of value provided?
It's a good question. That's the third dimension of customer health that we brought across in our paper and in a more general way. But that's a very important aspect of customer health, is what value is the customer getting back? And that is somewhat through monitoring, can be objective. There are ways to measure efficiency and different kinds of ROI and stuff through how a product's being used, one time point versus another time point. Some companies do that. A good way that companies look at value realization is somewhat of a human process and aided by technology, in that customer success managers spend a lot of time goal setting with customers. So when a new customer is onboarded, they may have agreed to whatever they agreed to through the sales process, but the customer success manager, if it's a human-to-human customer success manager, not a technology one, will sit down with the, or have a virtual meeting or sit down with the customer and establish some goals. Some, what are we trying to accomplish with the product in some kind of time frame, and really do just a straightforward review of what the goals are for now. And then they will work, the customer success manager will work to help the company that bought the product to work towards those goals, right? And then at the end of that time period, they will meet and have a business review meeting, and they will review those goals. And did we achieve them? Did we not? Did we exceed them? What areas still need some work, or where are we? And then they set new goals, and setting goals around things that can be measured objectively through product use, through changes and different outcomes that are looking. It's kind of, I'm being general here because every company has kind of a different set of data that's going to relate to whatever their product is. But the idea of goal setting and meeting and achieving and exceeding goals is one way to get at value. And there's a regular rhythm of that. Customer health scoring will capture some of that. So they'll try and get some of that built in. If the goals are set around some objective measures, they'll be measured as time goes on to know if that progress is being made in a positive direction. And there are a lot of things that can be kind of worked into through different equations to get at reduced operational costs, productivity increases, product-related value, meaning that the customer is getting some better design out of what they're doing, or they're getting more efficiency out of the product they're using. They're using less inputs into what they're developing or manufacturing, or all different ways. It's really hard to answer that question, but what is the value? Because there's, you know, literally millions of different types of products doing millions of different things, but you need to identify what can be measured is the point, right? And what can you set goals for and see as it's moving ahead? Are you achieving it or not?
Right. So it sounds like they should be objective, measurable goals. How often, or does it depend on the product? How often should you be setting, reviewing, and checking in on those goals?
So I teach about customer success management here at the University of Alabama, and I follow a book by a good friend of mine, Ruben Romago, and his co-author Ashvin, who is a chief customer officer at LinkedIn right now. But in that book, the kind of perfect version of customer success would have really regular, and there's all different flavors of customer success, but the ones we're talking about is the kind of mid-level customer that has interaction with a customer success manager, not the highest, most key account, not the lower account that might have more of a digital type presence, but this kind of middle touch kind of plan, which is where most of these customer success managers fall. In that case, it's going to be probably at a minimum monthly type check-in type things.
Okay.
Where some updates on what's going on, and never asking the question, what is going on, but sharing what's going on with the customer.
For all the listeners out there who are working in B2B, your customer relationship conversations, checking in, how you're performing monthly, and you're not asking, you're sharing and exploring, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. So there is a leader from Gainsight, which is a company that started, was early on in this area. One of their leaders, Dan Steinman, you can look him up, has a book, co-author of a book, one of the original books on this topic. He says, and I've heard him say it, and I've read it other places, that if you are asking, as a customer success manager, if you're asking how is it going of your customers, you have completely failed in your job, because you should know more than they know about how it's going, and you can go to them and explain to them what's happening. You might ask them for some clarification or validation of your insights, but you definitely don't want to walk in, how's it going? Which is what a lot of my sales job was about. So anyways,
it is
different, right?
Well, and you mentioned not once, but twice, you talked about tech versions of customer success managers. And I have to ask, how successful is a tech chatbot customer success manager?
When they have different, people call it different things, but we'll just say tech touch. So there's high touch, mid touch, tech touch would be a different forms of customer success, kind of beyond the scope of the paper. Right. We didn't get into too much of that, but the tech touch one could be a bot. It's a segment of a customer base for a company that has some similarities. Probably AI is helping to drive these insights a little bit now, a little bit more than it was a couple of years ago. But and it's sort of like a direct marketing plan to a small group of customers that have some similarities. So communicating messages to them, sending some customer education training videos, offering some webinars and stuff to address problems that are likely for this customer base to have, right? Yeah. So they're not top customers. Their value is important, but certainly not your most valuable clients in terms of revenue or other metrics. But they're ones that could grow, and the companies in anything, in sales or anywhere, try to figure out these customer segments. In this case, we're proactively communicating, educating, trying to grow, even set some goals with them, but not in such a personal, like we can't have a person assigned to every single one of these thousands of accounts on their small accounts that maybe can grow. But also we're looking at the ones on the fringes, the ones that are just below the next level up. Well, how can we help to work with them and maybe promote them upwards, right? Into more important customers, right? Which ones might be falling out and how do we keep them there? That's kind of sort of a different topic, but it's certainly a big focus of customer success management and sales in general. I think any kind of customer business has some element of that. But the tech touch would be more that. It would be the same types of activities and motions, as they say in the business world, but not delivered from me having a Zoom call with you. It would be delivered by some sort of more mass.
Right. It sounds like a one-to-many approach where you've got certain similarities that you're going to run into. Yeah. If I'm thinking organizationally about having customer success management, where should I house it organizationally? Should it report into marketing? Should it report into sales? Should it be an independent function? Where is it most advantageous to align? Yeah.
It's a good question. There's a fair amount of variance in that answer to that. But the answer we found, at least we propose, as being the best, is it should be its own thing. Although I definitely teach that customer success is a part of the sales process. You can't get past that. But what it does is very different from what the sales function does. So if it's in the sales function, it tends to get more focused on revenue generation. It does have revenue responsibilities and retain revenue and sometimes even some growth metrics, but they're very long-term type things. So if it tells within sales, it tends to get kind of morphs into more of just a different type of sales role. And it kind of loses its focus on this being a trusted advisor, being a consultant to the customers, being an advocate on behalf of the customers, being kind of this, you know, friend of the customer that's helping them. And if it's in other places, it also kind of loses its focus. And it if it doesn't have its own legitimacy, it just sort of gets assumed into whatever's happening. And if it becomes a service role, it becomes more customer service. It's just kind of natural. We heard this over and over again in hundreds of interviews. So not we, the participants of our study recommended that this be its own thing. And if you look at the organizational charts of many large technology firms, many firms out there, if you go on LinkedIn and put in vice president customer success, you'll find hundreds or thousands of them out there. There are many companies where this is set up as its own vertical. It has its own staff, its own leadership. It reports to the CEO, much like any other head of a function would. We recommend, and when I say we, the participants, meaning the participants of the study, which was several hundred, recommend that for this to become not just part of another role or become a different role with a new name, that it needs to retain its somewhat autonomy. Now, you may have noticed in looking at any kind of companies now, a lot of them have chief revenue officers instead of vice presidents of sales. It relates to this kind of change and also e-commerce and other things. Revenue is coming from a lot of different places. So customer success managers have responsibility for retaining customers, which represents a large, usually the majority of a company's annual business comes from retaining customers. So they have a lot of revenue responsibility, but it's a more long-term annual or contract long type of a thing, not a what are you selling today. It's about what are we doing to retain customers today versus what are you out selling today. So chief revenue officers will look at revenue from a different perspective. Some of that's direct sales efforts and some of it's customer success efforts and some of it might be online platforms and some of it might be professional services and different things. But they're looking over a bunch of different verticals these days. It's not just all sales has the money kind of things.
Right. How important is executive commitment to the overall success?
It's key. Tech industry in particular has gone through quite a bit of layoffs. Recession was, I think, the original instigator. Probably AI has been another a wave that came through there and some other things. And it's in times like that, executives, if they're not committed to this real customer focus, the easiest thing to do is to cut the kind of roles least tied to direct revenue. My background was in selling advertising prior to becoming a PhD and becoming a professor. And often companies would cut marketing budgets in any kind of downturn, which we always said was pretty long-term silly, but maybe a short-term look makes sense kind of solution. So if you have executives that aren't overly committed to this or don't really understand it or don't want to invest the company in becoming committed to this idea that, hey, our customer goals, if we just serve our customer goals, if our customers are getting more and more from our product every day, the rest of this will come along for the ride. At the highest level, that's what customer success is. It's kind of a philosophy that if we, you know, keep rising the tide, all the boats will come up together, right? We'll do well, everybody will do well. Of course, companies can't just completely go ahead on faith, but of course they tie it to other metrics, but that is kind of the idea. So if the CEO and other leaders aren't super committed to that, it's pretty easy for them to give up on it, right? It takes a while for this to mature. It takes continued commitment. And it takes the company really being committed to that. One quick example, I did a case study with one company, not reflected in this paper, but the sales leaders we talked to, they purposefully mislabeled customer success in many different ways, customer service, customer support, customer this, customer that. They kept not saying it properly because they just seemed to not really respect it. And it was evident that there were some real problems. That's why we're looking at this company and talking to them. You don't want that. I don't think everybody has to become a customer success expert, but if everybody has this general idea, it's similar to customer centricity or customer orientation. This idea that we're working on behalf of our customer and trying to find ways to get them better outcomes from using our product. If they're not doing that, if some of them are not in that wavelength, it's less likely to succeed.
Well, I was saying there is a big trend around customer centrality, and at the same time as they'll be cutting, it's sort of, this is what you're saying, but this is what you're doing. It's interesting that you particularly say that they were mislabeled sometimes as customer service. Now, we talked about the difference with key account managers, but what would be the difference for people who don't understand between just customer service? Is it the proactiveness of it?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So depending on what you're calling customer service. I mean, customer service can be field technicians out working on a product or something. That's a different thing. But I mean, still, that's reactive. But if you think of a call center or a company's response to customer issues or problems, it's all reactive, right? They don't reach out to say, hey, how's it going today? And they don't look at data to know who to call. They don't do any of that. They're waiting for calls to come in. They respond to support tickets. They respond to different ways to help a customer through some kind of issue, if it's technical or billing or whatever. So the traditional customer service representative would be that. They may do some of the things that a customer success person would, probably not too many, but they may help somebody to learn about this or that. But it's only going to be reactive to something going on in the customer's sphere that the customer gets to such a point of frustration that they have to call or can't resolve it themselves. Whereas customer support, customer success is, if they're doing any of that kind of stuff, it's just proactively realizing problems coming down the way, and we're going to take care of it before it becomes a problem, right?
Well, to your earlier point, if you're asking how it's going, you're not succeeding. So if you're just waiting for them to come knock on your door, right, you're not already really doing it right.
And it's not, customer service doesn't always handle problems. I mean, some things just need to be changed or whatever. They're not really big problems. They just need somebody to help facilitate something.
Right.
But normally they are. It's some sort of problem or issue or something that's being needs the resolution. But
right.
It's identified by the customer, right? Not by the company. Otherwise, that problem wouldn't have occurred. I guess the idea of customer success is to fix those problems before they ever occur, right? And have less of them.
Right. Right. So final question for B2B business owners and marketers who are listening to this interview. What is the most important thing for them to take away from the conversation? What should you absolutely, if you can stick one piece of information to have it retained in their brain, what would it be?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that customer success is a rowing snowball rolling down the hill that you hear more and more about. And many may wonder what it is, or is it right for my company? And if they want to answer that question, because it's not right for every company, but it starts with the product. If you have a product that's dynamic and the value proposition of it changes from day to day, week to week, month to month, because it's something with technology that can be updated and grow as time goes on, you probably are a good candidate. If you have a problem with retention and not people not continuing to buy your product for some reason, you probably are a good candidate. But you need to think about my product, would it support? Does it create data about its use? Can we figure out what customers are doing with it without having to ask them? Is it something that's complex? Is it changing in value? And a lot of those things are true. You should at least consider customer success. Even if you don't formally use it, you might learn some stuff about how you could better understand your customers through some of the practices. So I think product is really key. And if I only have one thing, I'll say that.
Fantastic. Really insightful. Thank you so much for sharing your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great. A lot of fun.
We reached the end of another episode of Up Next. I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the voice artist, recorder, our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time right here on Up Next.